last week we started looking at the fruits of the Spirit. Today we're going to hit on peace. I mentioned last week that joy and peace, I feel like, are pretty similar. They both give us a perspective on life. They both give us a kind of comfort in really in difficult situations in life. They provide us with a sense of contentment, but they aren't exactly the same. I want to look back at our very scientific study that I did whenever we were on the all-church retreat. Remember, some of you remember this activity where basically there's different juice. They all represent different fruits of the Spirit. And whatever fruit of the Spirit you need, you pour it a little in your cup. And so I kind of did the math. And joy was one our church needed a ton of. But peace was one we felt like we were pretty good at. Not many people poured peace into their cup. Which one kind of tells you, okay, we definitely have joy and peace are two different things. And it also might mean we all kind of have a little bit of a different definition of what each of these things are. They're complex and how they play out, how peace and joy play out in our lives and in our relationships is very different. And so I do kind of want to unpack for a moment what we mean when we say peace. And this almost becomes cliche, but I got to say it. Is that peace is not absence of conflict. Peace is not just absence of conflict. That's a low-level goal. Sometimes we'll settle for that. I used to see that in churches a lot, where church leadership, they're just like, look, we just don't want people barking at each other. I as an elder just don't want to be griped at. And so we'll settle for that. That is the lowest level goal. And you don't want that in your marriages, right? I mean, I fear sometimes people's marriages get to a point where the goal isn't even a happy, good marriage anymore. It's just, I don't want to fight. That's a low-level goal. When we want peace, we want something way more than just no fighting. Peace is something bigger than that. Peace is something holier than that. Peace is also not just simply, I don't like you, but I'm going to tolerate you. It's not just putting up with someone you can't stand. It's not... Peace is that one party is in control and the other party submits to them. Yeah, that might mean an absence of conflict, but it's not real peace. There's not real unity there. That's not, when one party's in control, that's not peace, that's domination. And a lot of times when we say we want peace, what we really mean is we want domination. I want you to figure out I'm right about everything. I just want peace. I want you to submit to me. When I wish the Democrats and Republicans could just find peace, often what we really mean is, well, I just wish this party could see it this party's way. I want peace in my marriage. What I really mean is I want her to finally realize I'm right about everything. You know, Hitler wanted peace. Hitler wanted peace. He just wanted everybody to be under him. Peace through domination means one person, one party, one group is stripped of who they are. They have no say. They have no power. And yeah, there's no conflict. But someone's part of who they are has been taken away because of a dominant party. So the kind of peace Scripture envisions is not where just everybody sees it one party's way. It's two individuals, two parties coming together and being better than they were as individuals. That's what we want out of our marriages, right? Two individuals who are now better, not worse, not just putting up with each other, they're better. So peace, really when I think of peace now, I think of it as almost like a puzzle piece. It's puzzle pieces fitting together. Two individual things that come together to create something better. The peace is in the Old Testament is shalom. And when one of the things we think of when we think of shalom is a completeness, a wholeness, a state without deficiency or any lack. The Greek word, it means to join together or tie together. So peace is when things are whole. The peace Scripture, it doesn't mean we tolerate each other. It means we are better together. We've come together to create something new, better, and different. It's unity. This is the kind of peace God envisions for his people. And that's what our text is speaking about this morning. Paul, so much of Paul's writing in the New Testament is trying to get Jewish Christians, and Gentile Christians to live together, to live at peace. And what was happening is there were a lot of Jewish Christians, culturally, ethnically Jewish, who said, I will accept Gentile Christians. They can come in here. They can be part of the church. But they wanted to be the dominant party. They wanted them to come in and kind of be under them. They need to assimilate. So yeah, they can come in and be part of this. They can be part of this, but they're going to have to quit eating pork, or we're not going to sit with them. We're going to have sit at separate tables. They're going to have to follow all of our customs. They're going to have to be circumcised. And if they don't, that's okay. But they're going to have to sit over here. They're going to have to sit at different tables than us. So they wanted peace. But really what they wanted to do is they wanted to be the dominant group. Paul is saying, no, we want a different kind of peace. And the text is telling these Gentiles, you're not second-class citizens anymore. Fully accepted. You aren't foreigners. You guys aren't on the sideline. You're not simply going to be tolerated. Because that's what some of the Jewish Christians wanted. They wanted them to just be tolerated. But this, you're people who are going to be full citizens, full rights, full privileges, fully accepted. Equals. Peace where they can work together, where they can be something better and be something different whenever they come together. So Paul in this passage, he does this a lot. Paul mixes a lot of metaphors. And so sometimes you read some of his stuff and it's kind of confusing. But one, he's envisioning a building. And he's saying, so you got these Jewish Christians and they're like one building block. And you got Gentile Christians and they're like one building block. And we don't want to water down who either of them are. Both of them beautiful cultures and beautiful history and powerful. Instead of watering them down, we want to build them up together with Christ as the cornerstone. The best of both worlds. The best of both worlds. And together, they'll create a new building. Or use the term, a new temple. Better than the old one. Better than the old one. This is a new one where God dwells in it. So Paul doesn't want the church to settle for a lack of conflict. He doesn't want them settling for a peace where one group is the dominant group. He wants a peace that makes and creates something new. So Christ said, and he talks about Christ's sacrifice and how it's put everybody on the same playing field. Because we all need forgiveness. We're all rule breakers. And law following doesn't bring us any closer to God. I don't care how good you are at not eating bacon. That doesn't get you in any better with God. I don't care how good you are at not touching unclean stuff. That doesn't get you any better with God. It's Christ's blood that gets you in with God. So we're all on the same playing field. What Paul's kind of alluding to here. Drawn together, not through law following, but through Christ's blood. So the division is completely gone. Our world just seems so divided now. More divided than ever. Politically, religiously, culturally, even in a church like Westgate, where we're pretty like-minded in a lot of ways. There's even a lot of different worldviews, a different thought, lots of different views just in here. There's a lot of diversity. And so really just thinking about peace anywhere can almost feel impossible, right? Is there anywhere in your life right now where peace just seems impossible? Just seems impossible. Maybe it's tension with you and one of your kids. Maybe it's tension with you and an ex-friend. Maybe there's an issue with somebody you have in this room. Maybe your marriage just feels like it's never going to have peace in it again. Maybe you feel like you'll never have joy again. I want to tell you this morning, I really do believe this. There is hope. There is hope. And that may be, like I said, zooming out a little bit. And with a lot of relationships, you can probably actually think back to times when things were good, when things were fun, when things were peaceful, when things were happy. And I believe you can get there. You can create something new there. So I want to give you hope. If there is some relationship in your life where there is not peace, I believe it can get better. But the peace that you want will not come through domination. It will not come through the other party seeing how right you are and acknowledging how dumb they are. I know maybe that's what you want. That sounds kind of ideal, but that's not peace. And that's not, and if you have that attitude of in this relationship, there will be peace when I am justified, you are wrong. It will not happen. If that is your goal in a relationship, is for you to be justified and them to see how right you are, you will not have peace. Real peace comes through sacrifice. Real peace comes through sacrifice. See, it doesn't mean forcing people to see it your way. It doesn't mean me being personally justified. It comes through the sacrifice of actually listening. I'm actually going to listen to what this person says. And it doesn't actually mean, well, I'm going to see it your way. But maybe it actually means I'm going to try and see how you could see it that way. I'm going to try to just understand you for a minute. Sometimes we have a hard time even doing that. We're so set in our ways that we don't even want to listen long enough to comprehend how somebody could see it different than us. And so maybe part of the sacrifice of creating peace is realizing maybe my way is not the only way. For some of us to just say that out loud, my way is not the only way, is a sacrifice. That's hard for us to admit. But if you can admit that, my way is not the only way, your relationships are going to get better. You can be at peace with a lot more people. Your circle just got bigger when you can say, my way is not the only way. Letting someone else have it their way, that's a sacrifice for some of us. That's something we may need to learn to do. And you may not be conceding that you're right about everything, but you may concede, I'm going to let you have it your way because you know what? I'm not that important. The world does not revolve around me. You can have it your way this time. We can go eat where you want. We can do things your way. That's hard. That takes sacrifice. But that's how you move. And you know, eating out, that's a little thing. There's big things, right? In church, here's how we're going to do worship. Here's how we're going to do church. I don't love it this way, but we're going to do it this way because you're important. This is important. Unity, peace takes sacrifice. It may require owning your own faults. Sometimes we have a hard time with that. Sometimes we can say you were right, but we have a really hard time saying I was wrong. Sometimes that's just those words coming out of our mouth are just too difficult. Admitting wrong is a great way to move towards peace in a relationship. Not saying, I'm sorry you feel that way. Don't ever say that. That is the worst thing you could ever, like, I'm sorry you feel that way. You might as well say, I'm sorry I'm right and that you're an idiot and that you see it wrong. I'm sorry you feel that way, you dumb dumb. Just don't say that. That should not be a phrase that is used in the English language. Maybe being able to understand, like, hey, I understand. And that's something that I think has helped me is, like, there's been times where I'm like, I didn't mean it that way. That shouldn't hurt you. Sorry. But then it's like, oh, wait, I need to be able to understand. I understand how you could take that way. I understand how that would be really hurtful. Like, even if that's not what I admitted, even if that's not what I meant, I get that. And I need to understand that. And I need to understand that I'm probably more of a jerk than I think I am. That's important. So rather than becoming defensive, rather than talking about our rights and justifying ourselves, we need to attempt to see, maybe I'm wrong. And sometimes we feel like we can't apologize and can't admit our own wrong if the other party is just more wrong than us, right? Well, it takes sacrifice to say, I messed up. It takes sacrifice to be the first one, to be the leader and say, this is on me. Before picking out the faults in them, to just say, hey, here's what I could have done better. It takes sacrifice to give people better than what they deserve. It takes sacrifice to not do what you are justified to do. Because sometimes in relationships, we do that, right? Well, I have a right to this. Well, does claiming those rights, is that good for the relationship? Is that good for the family? Is that good for the community? And that's what Paul had to tell him in 1 Corinthians. Yeah, you have a right to it, but look how it's impacting other people. So sometimes, even if it's okay, even if it's not a sin to do this, even if we're justified in doing this thing, if it hurts others, you don't do it. And that's that. You see that a lot in Scripture. Anytime it talks about a stumbling block, what it's really getting at is, hey, maybe you can do this, maybe you can't, but if it's causing your brother or sister in Christ to sin, it's wrong now. Doesn't matter if you can go justify it in the Bible somewhere. It doesn't matter if you can look at a rule list and say, I have a right to this. If it's hurting someone, if it's causing someone to sin, you just don't do it. You sacrifice. So really, we need to, if your goal is being justified in a relationship, you won't have peace. If your goal is even fairness in the relationship on your part, you being treated fairly, you may not have peace. Oh, I did more chores than you. Oh, I did. Oh, I sacrificed more here than you did, and you need to do better. That's not going to have peace. Peace in relationships mean we both love each other, and we are going to sacrifice for each other. I love this community, and it's not about what I want. It's about what's best for the community. That's how we find peace, is through sacrifice. We don't do what we have a right to do. We do what is good for God and what is good for others. And so God set us the ultimate example of peace, and of finding peace through sacrifice, by going to the cross. That's how he made peace. That's how he made that. We have peace between us and God because he fully, fully gave of himself, showing us the ultimate way to find peace in relationships through sacrifice. By giving himself, he set us this example that of the sacrifice needed in relationships to make them work. A sacrifice that says, it's not about me. It's about us. My needs, my wants, my selfishness isn't as important as this relationship. My needs and my preferences aren't as important as this community. That's how you find peace. And Jesus showed that, fully emptying himself on the cross, giving every drop of his blood, every drop of his life, full sacrifice for us. God has given himself to make peace with us. And he has set this example. And if you want to give your life to him, if you want to find that peace that is offered this morning, if you need anything at all, your church family is here. We have like two seats here up at the front. So if you need anything at all, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.